and welcome to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast. I am Pamela Ferguson, and in studio with me today is my beloved sister in Christ, Tamara Evans. Welcome, Tamara.
Thank you, Pam. I'm happy to be here.
Great. We're going to have a wonderful conversation. Have you ever felt that you were not good enough? Have you ever allowed fear to keep you from doing something you felt deep down inside that God was calling you to do? Or have you ever asked God for a sign to learn His will? Well, in today's episode, Tamara and I will unpack the topic. What does God see in you that you do not see in yourself? Our key scripture for this topic is Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. And I'm going to read that right now. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Just remember that statement. That's important. And Gideon said to him, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of the Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of the Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." And he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you." And he said, "I will stay till you return." We see in this passage of scripture a man called Gideon whose insecurities led him to doubt his God-given ability. Even though the angel of the Lord called him a man of valor. What's a man of valor? Someone who's courageous, someone who's strong, and someone with integrity in the face of danger. Tamara and I will discuss how God's perspective of us is often radically different from how we see ourselves and what that means for our lives. So get your coffee, get your tea, whatever your favorite drink is, and join Tamara and I as we hear what God is saying through His words to us on this topic. Welcome again, Tamara.
Yes, we're talking about Gideon,
mm-hmm.
A mighty man of valor.
Mm-hmm. And I can relate to Gideon because I fleece God a couple of times.
I think we all come to that moment. If we haven't, just keep living. You'll get there.
So Tamara, why do you think Gideon doubted himself so much even after hearing from God? And in what ways are we like Gideon to focus on our limitations instead of our God-given potential?
I looked at it this way. Gideon was a broken man. He was a fearful man. Mm-hmm. Where do we find him? Mm-hmm. Hiding out from the Midianites. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the Israelites for 7 years were being oppressed by the Midianites. Mm-hmm. They were raiding their livestock, burning their homes. They had to run in caves. And this was happening for about 7 years. So we meet Gideon at a broken place. A weakened man, a fearful man, an oppressed man, maybe a depressed man. Mm-hmm. And so when you're in that environment, when you're in that situation, when you've been challenged in that way, you will have doubts mm-hmm. about your ability to do anything mm-hmm. because you're thinking, yeah, my fathers had told me about a God in Israel who delivered us from the hand of Pharaoh. Where is this God now? What's happening? Mm-hmm. And so he's fearful. He's broken. And many of us find ourselves in the same position where life happens. We face challenges. We may have been once engaged in ministry, engaged in community, engaged in family life. But for some reason, the cares of this world has overcome us.
Right.
And when we're overcome, it's difficult to see our worth, who God calls us, his very own, his beloved, his chosen. And so I think that's where Gideon was. And I'm sure as we go through the passage, we see him in some sense engaging the angel of the Lord in those things.
Yeah. I always thought it interesting. I stumbled upon this passage of scripture. Now, I'd always heard the story about Gideon fleecing God. Like I said, I fleeced God a couple of times as well in my life. But the thing that drew me to this scripture, passage of scripture, was when the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" There's another translation that said, "Go with what you have. I am with you. Am I not with you?" And that passage right there is like stopped me in my track. And it told me we have something in us. Because a lot of times we think, well, I don't have it. You know, we focus on our limitations. And I was just so impressed to want to understand more about the scripture. Then I wonder, why is it that Gideon can say, "My clan is the weakest"? That's like, you know, my grandparents on my mother's side, Dan and Lola Williamson, and then my uncles and aunts and cousins, that clan, that's the clan. My clan is the weakest, and then I am the least. Like, where did Gideon get that from? And then I thought about it, and it's his background and his circumstances.
Yeah.
And I feel that parents have to be so careful of what they speak over their children's lives. And sometimes parents may not think that, oh, that wasn't harmful. I didn't say anything harmful to stop them. But you'll be surprised. Your black self, your picky hair, mm-hmm. your big nose, all of these negative things that they speak over them, they are sometimes internalized. Mm-hmm. It's so important, I feel, to speak life over our children, over our families, because they're internalizing it. For Gideon to come and tell him, "Me, my clan is the weakest and I am the least in my clan. I don't qualify at all." And I think that's very important.
Gideon trying to find a way out of God's call on his life.
Yeah.
Listen, Gideon was in the presence of the angel of mm-hmm. the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the Lord commanded him. He said, "Go in the strength you have, and what? Save." Mm-hmm. Go save. Mm-hmm. And then he said, "I am is sending you." Mm-hmm. And I thought about the Lord, who is the great I am, Jehovah God, is sending you. That means he is with you. The presence of God is going with you into battle to save Israel. It's not what Gideon had in and of himself. It is what God has given him, the strength, the ability, God's presence that would give Gideon the ability to overcome his enemies. What God sees in us is himself, because his word says he cannot deny himself. So he had called Gideon. He had a future for Gideon to overcome the enemies of Israel. And Gideon didn't connect with it right away. He found a way to disqualify himself.
That's what we always do. Some of us, I look at our limitations.
We look at ourselves mm-hmm. and we determine what I know about me mm-hmm. can't compete or compare to what I am seeing out there. We're talking about thousands of soldiers, people with large amount of camels and what we, I guess in this day and age, we say artillery, bombs and so forth. And you're sending me the least of all the clans. You're pulling me from the least within the clan.
This can't be right. Save Israel.
Sound like Moses. You know, Moses came up with a lot of excuses too. I can't talk. Me, I'm a murderer. So he didn't say that, but he came up with his excuses that he just was not eloquent enough to, or he saw himself as a leader, Moses, that is, to lead God people out of Egypt. But God is the one who qualifies. He's the one who gives the victory. So we're not looking at as us doing it in our own strength, but in our weakness. We are made strong in God's strength. Yep.
And I think, like Gideon, we look at our limitations and we tell that we speak to ourselves negatively and we say, well, okay, I failed at this before, so I'm not going to do it. Well, I don't have the resources. And I remember when I was going off to university, my parents didn't have any money. And I always look back at that time and wondered where I got the faith from. I don't know where I got the faith from. I was relying on scholarships. But while I waited on those answers, I was completing information. I sent all the information they requested. And then they wanted a bank account. And my parents didn't have any money on the bank account that they can show that they were able to afford my school fees. And I remember going to my cousin, shout out to my cousin, Conrad Williamson. And I said, I need a bank statement. Can you request one for me? And he did. He got a bank statement and I was accepted. And then now it's time to pay. And the last scholarship that I was waiting on from government said rejected. After I'd applied to all these places, it was the last one to come in.
I know, but
and it was a rejection, right? So I was so downcast. And my father must have seen it. He didn't say it. And during this process, I didn't talk to my dad about it. Because I know we didn't have any money. Mm-hmm. He always faulted me from a child that I should not try to figure his pocket out. And I should come to him. But I was like, okay, you got no money. So I'm not even putting you guys in this. And he asked me one day, he says, how's it going with school, going off to university? I said, well, I got the last rejection letter. And he says, okay, your mommy and I will do it. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, look at God. And so whenever I talk to young people who want to go off to school, but they always jump in with that limitation of, I don't have the resources. I said, you don't worry about that right now. You do what you have to do. Apply for scholarships. Make sure your information is in place and you trust God for the rest. So like Gideon, we tend to focus on our limitations and then we become paralyzed to move forward.
Yes, difficult to move forward when you self-talk your way out of something.
You know, Tamara, it's sometimes we convince ourselves, because I've been there, it's easier. If I have a lot of faith or hope that I can get this thing, and if I don't get it, you feel like you'll be devastated. So if you say then, well, if I don't get it, that's okay. Or I probably wouldn't get it anyhow, because you feel that you will feel it will be easier to take when you don't get it. Yeah. But it's faith. We lack that faith to step out in faith and trust God that he will give us what he says or what he plans for our lives.
Our feelings, right?
Yes.
How we feel. And then we overthink things. We play out every negative scenario we can think about that'll happen. And all of these scenarios don't include God's grace. God's grace in those scenarios seem to be absent. So we're thinking about, if I can't control this, then it can't happen. If I don't have that specific gift, then it won't happen. Not realizing that it's the Holy Spirit within us that gives us the giftings or the abilities in any situation we get into to be able to execute God's assignment for our life. Where he sends us, he provides for us. And so I think when we're in situations like that, we need to get into God's word. Yeah. What is the word of God saying to us about this specific situation? And faith is believing in God's word. Mm-hmm. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you don't drum up faith. Mm-hmm. It's very clear in the Bible how you grow your faith, and you need to be in the Word of God. And once you spend time studying the Word, meditating on it, acting on it, being obedient to it, then the results are up to the Lord.
Yeah.
We wouldn't know the full outcome. He knows it. But all He wants us to do is be obedient and step out in faith.
And accept that He is with us.
Yes.
He is, that's what He said to Gideon, am I not with you? And He equips those that He calls. We just need to get out of self, take our focus off of ourselves. That's the negative or the positive, mm-hmm. talking down to ourselves and trust God.
Yeah, Gideon got
what
the word.
It is he wants to do in our lives.
Gideon got the word. The Lord said in verse 16, I will be with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And He said, you will strike down all the Midianites.
Yes. Yes.
Leaving none alive. Yes. So that was the word.
Yes.
That was the truth of the matter. Mm-hmm. And Gideon had to, in some way, get that into his heart.
Yeah. And I like how Gideon questioned God. A lot of times we think that, you know, God is up there and He's so far from us that we cannot ask Him questions. We cannot say, well, God, why is this happening? I know everything has to be done respectfully, but Gideon went through that process. Well, you know, are you with us? I don't see those things that my parents, those miracles that happened during my parents' time. And God was patient with him to explain it, that when he came in verse 16 to say, you will, Gideon took it and he ran with it. And when I read the other chapters, he was so confident after that. He said, is this the same man?
Yeah.
He was talking about me and the weakest and the least.
The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, so he gained that confidence. The thing it is, we enter into a space of, once we get the word, we are excited to receive it. It's almost like what the scripture says about when the word goes forth, when the seed is planted and some fall among thorns and some fall on good soil, so forth. And in one aspect, we receive it with gladness. Mm-hmm. And then for some reason, the cares of this world overtake us and the word that we receive with gladness is gone away from us and we lose our joy. But then we look at the enemy is at work in the middle of this as well. The enemy is at work trying to steal the seed. So you're not able to have that seed planted in good soil so it can take root and grow as a fruitful tree. So we have God giving us the word, planting it in us, want us to act on it. And then we have the enemy bringing things into our life to disrupt what God is trying to do. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's important for us to stay in fellowship with other believers, stay in the word, stay in the Lord's Supper and communion, and do the things that those disciplines, Bible study and so forth, that keeps us grounded, rooted and built up. So when the enemy does come, we can withstand him. We can resist him. Firm in the faith.
Yeah. It's very important to stay in the word and stay seeking him when these challenges and these troubles come, because if we don't, the enemy will take hold and take root.
But that's the thing about affliction and suffering. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to draw us closer to the Lord, to call on him.
Yeah.
He allowed the Israelites to get themselves in a situation where they were being oppressed by the Midianites because they rejected him. They turned to idols.
Mm-hmm.
And so he allowed their enemies to come in. The enemy didn't utterly destroy them, but the enemy oppressed them in such a way that they were in distress. And so what they had to do once more, cry out to God.
And every time the people of God back then cried out to him, he heard their cries eventually. And if we cry out to him, he will eventually hear our cry. So Tamara, Gideon initially questioned God's choice to use him to deliver the Israelite. He said, my clan is the weakest and I'm the least. How do we sometimes disqualify ourselves from God's calling in similar ways?
One of the things we do is we immediately, I mean, in my case, sometimes, I look at somebody else who I think should be more, or in my eyes, more qualified. I'm not this person. I don't have that gifting. I don't present that way. And so we immediately say, because that's what he did. He compared himself to the other clans.
Comparison.
And then he compared himself to those within his clan. So that is what struck me about it. He's like, okay, let me look at those around me and see. We're not like the Benjamites and all these other clans. And within my clan, like I guess you could say like David was the younger one, right? So he was like, why would you choose him to be king over the other brothers? So we do that.
Yeah.
We start the comparison and then we ease our way out and say, if I'm the one, I'm not going to be accepted by.
Yeah. And that's the killer comparison that can paralyze you.
It can.
Because there's going to always be somebody prettier, taller, slimmer, more eloquent than you are. I remember I'd say to God, okay, if I had this skill, then I could do this, right? And then I remember what he said to, was it Peter or Paul? He said, my grace
is sufficient.
Mm-hmm. I remember I had an incident in 2014, I had to do, we had one of our pension conference and I was a speaker. And this is not the first time that I'd spoken at a conference. But I went out and was overcome with anxiety. When I walked into the room, there were lots of people inside there. And you know what I was saying to myself? What are all these people doing here? And what do I have to say
Self-talk.
That they wanted to hear? Perfect. We disqualify ourselves Self-talk. By talking down to ourselves and saying, and that's the insecurities, that I am not good enough.
And the enemy is at work in that, because we're encouraged when that happens to cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive.
Yeah.
And if we practice that often enough, we'll find that we're able to resist the enemy in the moment, but it leads us to prayer.
Yeah.
It leads us to prayer.
And that's what it was. I went to God. I said, okay, God, you're saying something to me. Okay, I'm listening. Don't do it again. I'm listening. But we use these past failures, you know. So after that, according to the enemy, I was never supposed to approach a podium again because I failed. And so I told myself, oh, I can't do that. And yeah, there was a time when I still spoke because I felt that God was calling me to. But I was like, if I could get out of this, I don't need to do this. I don't need that stress that's leading up to it. But there's a scripture that says, forgetting those things which are behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of Christ.
We're pressing toward, and pressing means that there should be some kind of resistance.
Yeah.
If there's no resistance, there's no need to press forward. Mm-hmm. You'll almost have the wind at your back.
Right.
You'll be free to move forward. So pressing kind of connotates that there's something resisting us. And as believers, we understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, we're wrestling against powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we have to walk in a way that we're always communing with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That we're always in his presence, because in his presence, there's fullness of joy.
Right.
In his presence, we have safety. If you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, then you can say, God is my refuge and strength, my very present help in the time of trouble.
Yeah.
And so we have the word of God to resist the enemy with when we are in those places. And then we have to have community. We have to have people around us that will support us and help us in our time of weakness. I guess Moses had his Aaron and Gideon had his Pua. If you read on through the book of Judges. And so God gives us people to come alongside us, so that when we are in those places of weakness and we can ourselves pray, they can pray us through.
And then we have to also know that we are enough. We are enough. Like you said, we talk down to ourselves. We are enough. And when fear and insecurities come up against us, we need to know that, one, we are enough. God has put something in us to deal with this. And he also said that he is with us. And the thing about God, and what I like, is almost like God likes the underdog, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
he takes the foolish things to confound the wise.
He's not using you because you are so good. You are so educated. He uses those people because he wants you, he wants the person that he's being used and the world to know it's not by your might and your power, but by his spirit that has elevated you and that he's using. It's so important for us as children of God to understand that whatever gifts and talents that he's placed in us, it's to be used for his glory.
Yes.
And his honor, not for us.
Yeah.
Yes, we feel good. I love it when people come. I'm like Thomas. I'm like Gideon. I'm like Thomas. I know. Like Thomas, I got to see the nail print in the hand. So I kind of like when someone comes and says, that was a blessing, Pam.
Yeah.
That's just me. I'm okay with that. But I know it's not about me. So even if I don't hear that, I have to still go on if I think that God is calling me to that. And so we want to know, too, that God wants us to succeed.
Yeah. Let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father in heaven.
Yep.
That's the purpose. It's for his honor. And that's the chief end of man, to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Yep.
So if you're a believer, that is your goal in life. You're here to glorify him. He purposed you to be here, that you would be a light for him, not for yourself. He must increase and you must decrease.
Yes. So if you're dealing with anything, or you're afraid, or you don't think that you qualify, or you don't think that you are good enough, you are. He said in his word that he wants you to succeed. He wants you to do well. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope." Tamara, guess what? We are out of time. It was a wonderful conversation, Tamara. I just want to encourage anybody who's listening. Look, let me tell you, stop talking down to yourself. Stop doubting yourself and stop talking down to your children and stop doubting God's plan and purpose for your life and for your family's life. Just trust him. He wants us to succeed. I just want to close out in prayer, Tamara. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for seeing us not as we are, Lord, but as we can be through your strength and grace. Help us, Father, to align our perspective with yours and to trust in your promise to embrace the unique gifts you have placed in each and every one of us. When we feel inadequate or insecure, remind us, Heavenly Father, that your power is made perfect in our weakness, and that we are your workmanship created for good works. Father, may we walk in faith and courage, knowing that you are with us every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Tamara, thank you so much for this wonderful conversation. I just want to encourage you that Gideon's story reminds us that God's calling isn't based on our strength or our ability, but on his. Thank you. And if this program has been a blessing to you, just send us an email at sisters, S-I-S-T-A-S in Christ 242 at gmail.com. Thank you, and continue to trust in God.